when I went to go ahead and get started, we'll say where to fry, and then we'll jump into the lesson on tonight for training school. Father Yah, we bless you as we come to you again just to acknowledge you. We thank you for your wisdom, your understanding that you bestowed upon us. We just glorify you for all that you do. And we just praise you for everything pertaining to life and godliness. We ask you to give us understanding on tonight. And the understanding that we gain, we will put it into action. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. All right. what we're going to do on tonight is, you know, I want to show you some things here in the scripture to at least how to, you know, to take a look at how we view scripture, how we should study, and there are a lot of things that we can learn once we get, I guess, get an understanding of just the fundamentals of how to look at scripture. You know, we dealt with some steps or stages of understanding the scriptures in the past, and so I want to kind of look at some things. I don't really want to say in reference to those, but just kind of look at some things from the perspective of these things that we've grown to understand. We're going to start out, I guess, in Matthew chapter 26. We're going to move around to four different books. We're going to deal with Matthew. We're also going to deal with Mark. And we're going to deal with Luke and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels. And it's just some principles that I want to teach you guys, especially in reference to studying. And and you will hopefully you'll be able to see these things. Well, I know you'll be able to see these things, but hopefully you'll be able to see, let me put it this way, I know you'll be able to see these things in this lesson tonight, but hopefully from this lesson, you know, that you'll be able to see a lot of these things and to be able to study the scripture. Don't just approach the Bible from a, you know, just reading point of view, but always approach it from a studying point of view, okay? 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto Yah." The word study means to make every effort. And so there are some things that you will have to come into an understanding of by obviously looking at the scriptures, but or using the scripture as the foundation, but then there are other things that you can learn that lines up with the foundational scriptures. And so we did that in reference to Daniel chapter 11. You know, when I broke it down and showed you, you know, Alexander the Great, the Ptolemies, the Antiochuses, and the, you know, different things like that. And so this is kind of one of these lessons. And what I'm going to do, it's kind of like, that's what he explained, it's kind of like this is an open book test. That's the best way I can explain it at this point. Whereby, you know, I'm going to kind of challenge you to be able to look at these scriptures and then see some differences or see some different things in these scriptures in order to come into an understanding of what we need to on tonight. Okay? Matthew chapter 26, we'll start at verse 6. Yeah, we'll start at verse 6. Okay, Matthew 26, verse 6, we'll read verse 6 through 13. And again, y'all, I'm going to kind of challenge you on tonight from a perspective of your understanding of the scriptures and to be able to view these different, you know, scriptures in order to see, you know, what's needed on tonight, okay? Now, Matthew 26, verse 6 through 13, it says, now, when Yehoshua was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat, as he was sitting down to eat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation. When you look at the word indignation, it basically means that they were grieved about it. They was displeased about it. They had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? They looked at it as a waste. Okay. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Okay. The poor, the needy, those that were distressed, the beggars. When Yehoshua understood it, he said unto them, why trouble you the woman? Remember the woman. Okay. Why trouble you the woman? For she hath wrought a good work unto me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. Now, one of the things that I want you to understand in this passage is, from a perspective of verse 11, he says, for ye have the poor always with you. It points out that it is not a guarantee that a person will have financial success because they're born again. Okay? Our Savior did not come in order to make us rich financially. He came to die for our sins in order that we may be connected back to our Father, Yah. That is his primary position. That's the reason why he came. So when we dealt with those scriptures where it talked about the promises of Abraham unto all those who believe. The promises of Abraham had been given to all those who have believed. We looked at the word promises and realized that it had the same meaning as the word single, promise. Okay? So just because a person, and it's the false doctrine that Christianity teaches, that, you know, if you get saved, you're Abraham's seed and you're heirs according to all the promises that was made to Abraham. And you go back and you look at the promises that Yah made to Abraham in Genesis 12. You go back and look at those promises that he made to Abraham, that, you know, he would be blessed and that his seed would be blessed, and through him all the nations of the earth be blessed. Well, when you look at, again, those promises, it is not promises as in all of them. There is one promise that has been made available to all mankind, and that promise has come through the seed, Christ. Okay? Being that he has redeemed all mankind from sin if they believe in him. Okay, and so redeem means to pay the ransom or to pay the price to establish us or give us access back to the Father through the Son. So as we look again in Matthew 26, verse 11, you know, it is we are out of order, or we have lost the true message of the kingdom when we think that just because we believe in Jesus, we're supposed to be rich financially. No, the only thing that Christ guarantees us is salvation through him, through having faith in him. That's the only thing that he has He has made, he has, you know, that's the only promise from a perspective of Abraham. Okay, so when you look at the word promises, it is not promises, it is promise, plural. And I'm going to go there right quick because I know y'all are hearing me saying promises and use that. Okay, where is he referring to? It's in Galatians, Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3 verse 16 says, now Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, not unto seed as of many. So you remember we dealt with this. And it says, now unto Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not unto seed as of many. So when we look at seed, we're looking at the seed of Abraham, so that's Israel. But Yah didn't promise, the promises were not made to Abraham from a perspective of seed as it coming, or as mankind benefiting from the seeds of Israel or the nation of Israel as of many. That's why verse 16 of Galatians 3 says as of many. It says, but as of one, and that seed, one seed, which is Christ. So when you look at the word promises in Galatians 3 verse 16, it is from a single perspective, not a plural perspective, because if we don't study, we'll think it's talking about all the promises that were made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Okay? Well, that's not the case, because when you look at it from the definition of meanings, going back to the true meaning that is for us to understand, the word promise is the word promises has the same definitional meaning as the word promise, plural. So that word should have been, now verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. He said, not unto seed as in many Israel, but as of one, and thy seed which is Christ. So through Christ, there is one promise made because of the seed of Abraham, that Christ. There's one promise made. That's redemption. Okay? That's redemption. That's the only promise that we guarantee. And when you look at Matthew 26 and verse 11, it makes it clear that from the perspective of what our Savior said when they were disappointed in the ointment being from the alabaster box in verse 7 being placed on, he was anointed with the ointment by the woman. So from that perspective, they thought that it was being wasteful, and they was like, you could have given that to the poor. He was like, you know, no. He said, the poor you have with you always. So it let us know that we were always, regardless of whether a person believes in the Messiah, the Mashiach, or not, you will always have poor. You will have poor believers. You will have poor unbelievers. It rains on the just as well as the unjust. Okay? Even the scripture points out about Yah giving every man a talent. The talent was resources. Matthew 25, every talent according as his several abilities. So he may give one person more of a financial, I'm talking about Yah, not just these con artists that's out there. You know, these con artists, pastors, and stealing money from people. I'm talking about from Yah blessing us to handle finances. He does things from the responsibility and the abilities that he's placed upon individuals to be able to handle those resources. So, you know, that's how we're to understand it from their perspective. And then that keeps us in a kingdom mindset whereby we don't judge our financial success based upon how Yah loves us. But we know that, you know, whether we have $1 billion as far as Gump say, or $2.50 in the bank, we still know that Yah loves us, we belong to him, and we are his children. Okay, now, verse 12. He said, for in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Y'all seeing that? Okay, now what we're doing here is I'm teaching you I'm teaching you how I see Scripture. I'm teaching you how you should study the Scripture. We dealt with a lot of things, but I want to prepare you to be able to get by yourself by the leading of the Spirit of Yah and allow the Spirit to guide your mental state to see the Scriptures. So what I mean by see, I mean by perceive and understand. Okay? And so, again, as we look at these Scriptures, I'm going to read them here without giving understanding of them because I've already covered it now. You go back to verse 6. It says, now when Yehoshua was in Bethany, so from looking at verse 6, what should we understand from the first part of this verse that I read? I'm teaching you how I see Scripture. I'm teaching you how to study. The first thing you should look at, okay, is where is he? Bethany. That's how you look at Scripture. Don't just read, but you're reading to perceive. You're reading to understand. So the way to perceive the Scriptures is we have got to look at every word and give ourselves the opportunity to understand the Scripture, okay? Now, Yehoshua was in Bethany, so that's one key. He's in Bethany in the house of who? Simon the leper. So those are two things we got to retain to understand the lesson. He's in Bethany. He's in the house of Simon the leper. There came unto him a woman having an alabaster box. That's the next phase. So we look at he's in Bethany. He's in Simon the leper's house. There's a woman comes up to him with an alabaster box. Very, very precious ornament, so it's expensive. So we're taking in all the information as we're reading it. We don't leave out nothing. That's how we should see Scripture. That's how I understand Scripture. I don't neglect or pass by one word. Every word is vital for understanding. Okay? Now, again, verse 7, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box, very precious ornament. Now we know he's from Bethany, Simon the leper's house, a woman approaches him with an alabaster box. It is a very precious ornament. So I know the alabaster box is something that contains very precious ornament. Okay? Now, as we look at this now, the alabaster box is nothing but a perfume box. Okay? Now, and then it poured it up on his head. So she pours it up on his head. Where did she pour it?
On his head.
Okay. And sat as he sat at meat. When his disciples saw it, they had indignation. They were disappointed. They were grieved about it, saying, this is the way. Okay? Saying, this is the way. For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Now, what did they say? They were disappointed. Why? Because they were saying this could have been given to the poor. Now, then it goes on and said, when Yehoshua, verse 10, understood it, he said unto them, why trouble this woman? Why are you being weary or causing this woman to be weary about what she's doing? Why trouble this woman? For she has wrought a good work. What she's done is good unto me. Why now? For in this, that she has poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my what? Burial. So she put that on him before he's getting ready to be crucified. Y'all see this now? All right, huh? She's preparing. She's pouring this on him, getting him prepared for his burial, his crucifixion. Okay, now, since we understand that part, we're going to move to the next books that talk about the same story. Now we go to Mark chapter 14, and we're going to look at verse 3. Mark chapter 14, verse 3. Okay. Mark chapter 14, verse 3. Is it verse 14? Let me see. So it's not Mark 14, it's John 12. John 12, we'll start at verse 1, John 12, verse 1. Oh, yeah, it's Mark 4. I'm sorry, y'all. Mark 14, verse 3. I was overlooking it. Mark 14, verse 3. Okay. Yeah, I'm bad now. We'll go to verse 1, okay? Now, Mark 14, verse 1, it says, after 2 days, 14, verse 1, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover. Okay, the feast of the Passover. Now, this is what Christians call Easter. See how they add paganism to what the Bible says that it is? The Passover is what Christians call Easter. Okay? So it's 2 days before the Passover. Easter is not in the scripture. They just what they interpret it as Easter. They interpret the Passover as Easter. So we're lining up with the scriptures Passover. Okay? So I'm showing you how Christians do it from a ritualistic point of view with the Easter egg and Easter bunny and all that. Idolatry to show you what it really is in the scripture. It is Passover. It is the Passover whereby we acknowledge the festivals of sacrifice. You go in the Old Testament, it is the same thing that we did in the Old Testament. Our Savior did it. It was still acknowledged. Okay? Now, verse 1 said, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. Okay? Because we look at when our nation was getting ready to come out of Egypt, we ate unleavened bread, I think, and bitter herbs and things like that. There are customs that's associated with it. And I don't want to get off into that. Spirit is pulling me away from it. That's why I started studying the way that I did. I don't want to spend time on it because he won't be specific. Okay, so verse 1 says, after 2 days, the feast of Passover and unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes thought that they might take him by craft. They're plotting to kill him. Okay, take him by craft. They wanted to trick him or deceive him. Okay, and put him to death. So it lets us know who is plotting to kill the Savior, the chief priests and the scribes. The religious folk. Okay, the religious folk. Then verse 2 says, but they said, not on the feast day. Not on the feast day. Not on the Passover. We can't do this on the Passover now. Okay? And they said not on the feast day, the holy day. Okay? They said not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. So they're plotting to kill the Savior, but they don't want the people to get in an uproar because they're doing it on the feast day. Then it said, being where? In Bethany. Now, what does that coincide with? What did we read earlier? Matthew what? Matthew 26. So that let us know that this is showing us that this is the same event. Why? Because it's saying, and being in Bethany in the house of what? Simon. Who house were they in Matthew 26?
Simon
the leper. And what did he do? Sat at me. Saying the same thing. There came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of, it's nine, it said, of spikenard. Okay? Of spikenard. It's giving us a little bit more information it's spikenard. It's telling you the type of fragrance it is. Very precious. And she break the box and poured it on his what head. And there was before, and there was some ink, and some, and there was some that had, now it says some. What did it say? What did it say in Matthew 26? Do you remember when we read Matthew 26? I'll go back there. When we read Matthew 26, it says, and his disciples saw it and had indignation. So when you look at Mark is giving a little bit more information. Mark says some. Okay, some, verse 4, Mark chapter 14, verse 4, and there was some that had indignation within themselves, so they didn't say it just outright. You see it? They had it within themselves. Okay, they had it within themselves. So that means that was a mindset. It did himself and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence. More than 300 pence, okay? When you look at 300 pence, that is the equivalent of 10 donkeys. So that was very precious for that. I mean, that was an expensive ointment for back in that time frame. It's like, best way to explain it, it's like being able to go buy 10 cars nowadays. Oh, that was a mess about which they travel, donkeys. So that ointment had a value of, if we were looking at it today, somebody would have had that ointment and wouldn't have sold it. They could have bought 10 brand new cars. And just give up the general idea of how valuable that ointment was that he was putting on the Savior's head. Okay? Now, verse 5 says, 300 pence and had given to the poor, and they murmured against her. Now, as you see, it coincides with them outward expressing some things whereby the scripture said in Matthew 26 that it was grievous to her. Verse 6 says, and Yehoshua said, let her alone, why trouble ye her? She wrought a good work on me. Same words, right? But she have poured it, for ye have the poor with you. For verse 7, for ye have the poor with you always, and whatsoever ye will may do them good. But me ye not have always. Verse 8, she has done what she could. She has come aforetime to anoint my body to the burial. Y'all seeing this? So we conclude now from looking at the evidence, Matthew 26 and Mark chapter 14 is telling what? The same story. Y'all seeing this now? All right. Now we'll go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. We'll start at verse 1. John 12, verse 1 said, and Yehoshua, 6 days before the Passover, came to where? Bethany. Same thing. Where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Y'all see it? So we know that Lazarus is here. Okay? Lazarus is here. Lazarus lived in Bethany. Now it says there they made him a supper, and Martha served. Y'all see it? And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Yehoshua. Y'all see this? And anointed the feet of Yehoshua, and wiped his feet with her hair. Y'all seeing it? And wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas, Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence? So now, who is the disciple that complained? Who was the disciple that complained? You know, Matthew said the disciples were complaining, murmuring and complaining. Mark said basically the same thing. John is giving some details. So John is pointing out which disciple is complaining. Now, seeing it. So now as we look at it, verse 4 says, verse 3, we'll go back to verse 3. Verse 3 says, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Yehoshua, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence? You could have bought 3 asses with that. You could have bought 3 donkeys with that. And given to the poor. This he said, now explain why he has this indignation. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. So Judas did not only betray, the Savior, he was a thief. why was the scripture calling him a thief? Look at it. Verse 6. Then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag. Judas was stealing the money. Because he was a thief and had the bag and brought what was put therein. So he wanted that the value of that alabaster box. He was looking at that saying, boy, look at that. That's 10 donkeys. That's 10 donkeys value worth of ointment that she's wasting on the Savior. And if I could have got that and sold it for that value for 300 pence, I could have put that 300 pence in this bag and been constantly getting it after that. So now you understand what the problem was. Why he had indignation toward the woman who was putting the ointment on the Savior. He was a thief. He not only betrayed him, but he was a thief. Okay? Now, as we continue to read now, then said Yehoshua, let her alone. Against the day of my burying, has she kept this? For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Y'all seeing this? Now, question now. Based upon Matthew chapter 26 and Mark chapter 14, who is the one? Let me back up. Hold up. Let me back up. Where are they? Bethany. What is the Savior getting ready to do or is doing at the time? Huh? No. You go step by step. You play that. I can't hear you in there. Okay, he has the. I'd rather to hear you, so everybody else needs to hear you is what I'm saying. She stepped out of St. Carl's. Now, so I'm asking you, what town are they in?
Bethany.
What is the Savior sitting down getting ready to do?
Eat.
What happens next? Who is the woman now? Look at the scripture. Who is the woman? Verse 3.
Mary.
Wait a minute. Somebody's in conference call. What did you say?
Was it Mary?
Yes, Mary. Yes. So we all on the same page. So now we identify the woman. They're in Bethany. What house are they there? Simon the who?
The leper.
So it lets you know that there's a relationship between Simon the leper, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Because it points out in verse 2 that they made him a supper and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table. So they're in Simon the leper's house. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus is in this house. Now see how it starts to tie up together? Now, so we identify the woman now as Mary. Okay? As we continue to read, she pours the 300 pence of value of ointment on it. Now we start to see who the disciple is that has the problem. Because when you first look at the scripture, it gives disciples giving you the impression that all of them got upset about it. But as you read John gives more detail to tell you who the one really has a problem. See, and we don't see these things unless we study precept upon precept, line upon line, look at every word, and allow the scripture to give us more information. What does Isaiah 28:10 say? For a precept must be upon precept. For a command must be upon command. Line connecting upon connecting. So Yah said, I give you that here a little and there a little. So I'm going to tell you it's a woman at first. If you continue to study, you're going to find out who she is. And if you continue to study, you're going to start making all the connections of who they are. And if you continue to study, you're going to realize that there was one disciple that had a problem, not all of them. I give you bits and pieces of information, and those who don't study and show themselves approved will take the bits and pieces, will take just some of the information and then go out and try to teach it without understanding the detailed information to point out that not all the disciples had a problem. It was that one thief and that one betrayer. But Yah said, starts out saying, and the disciples had indignation. So if a person is not looking at it, all the disciples got mad about it. No, it's one thief and one person that betrayed it. He was the one that had issues all along. So it shows you the nature of Judas, that he wasn't just someone who betrayed the Savior, but he was someone who was doing crooked stuff all along. But when we study it like the way Yah desires us to do it by the leading of the Spirit, we pull out the character of Judas before he gets to the point to where he actually betrays. We see this boy had problems all along. He was a thief. You think our Savior didn't know he was stealing? Even the Savior knew. But everything had to be fulfilled in the Scripture. So when you start to wonder about Judas and a person, man, you know, Judas was just ordained. He was destined to betray the Savior. Judas had the personality. Make sure your phone's on mute. Judas had the nature for it. Yah picked him. Yah chose him. That's why he said, Father, all that you've given me, I have kept them all. I didn't lose any. That dog on Judas, boy, had a nature that was different all along. Okay? Now, as we continue to look at this now, verse 8, it says, for the poor ye have with you, but me ye not have always, because he's getting ready to die. Okay? Now we look at the last one. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. We're going to start at verse 37. I'm trying to see it all and start at verse 37. That's all I'm doing. Okay. I'm just scanning over scriptures before verse 37. I'm going to go up to verse to go up to verse 17 right now. I'm going to read verse 17, and I'm doing it for a reason. Then we'll skip down to verse 37. Luke 7, verse 17, saying, "This rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea." Judea is the region of Judah. Okay, it's the region of Judah or Jerusalem. Okay, it is the region of Jerusalem. It's where Jerusalem is. Verse 17 says, "This rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea or Jerusalem and throughout all the region round about. And his disciples of John showed him of all these things." Now I won't spend a lot of time on there because I just wanted to read that verse for a specific reason. Now we'll skip down to verse 37 because we start at verse 7. I'm just trying to cover all these passages and not miss out, because I want you to be able to see. Okay, verse 37 said, "And behold, a woman in the city, so where is this scenery now?" Based upon verse 17. Now you got to think now. You can't now, we're in a different book, so you can't now just start referencing this book to all the other books, because what you got to do, you have to look at each word to see what's going on. So that was part of my reason for reading verse 17. What did verse 17 say that he was? You remember? Judea, Jerusalem. You can look at all the way up to verse 1. It says, "Now when he had entered all these saying and the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum." And then you see there are some things as you continue to read all the way down through this. You get to verse 17. It's talking about he's in the region of Judea. He's dealing with these Pharisees and the things like this. So when you get to verse 37, it says, "And behold, a woman in the city which was a what? Sinner." So first of all, we have to understand these sort of passages. So, what is different about Luke chapter 7 in comparison to Matthew 26, Mark 14, and what was the other one? John? They're in different places. John, what was it? John 12. So, we already understand this is a different place. They're in different places. We've established that. It says in a city, but let's just say we don't know quite yet. But from looking at all the other ones, we know that he's in the region of Judea. So we're just going to stick with that for now, but I want you to start seeing some things and compare the scriptures so that we can understand. "And behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner." You're identifying her as a sinner now. "Which was a sinner when she knew," okay, woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Yehoshua sat at meat in the Pharisee's house." Now see that. "Brought an alabaster box of ointment." I'm saying it. And stood at his feet behind him weeping. Y'all see this? "And began to wash his feet with tears, and then wiped with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now the Pharisee," now verse 39. "Now when the Pharisee had bitten him saw it. He spake within himself, saying, 'This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner.'" Y'all seeing this? And Yahushua answering saying unto her, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. Verse 41 says, there was a certain creditor with two debtors, and one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when he had, and when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. There are two debtors, verse 41. One has 500 pence, the other has 50. Okay? Then he said, and when they had nothing to pay, they were not able to pay this man. He frankly forgave both of them. He let them both, forgave the debt, basically. He said, tell me, therefore, which of them loved him the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Y'all see it in here? And she wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil, verse 46, thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Verse 47, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Verse 48, and he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Verse 49, and they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sin also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Okay. Now, let's go back up now. We'll look at this in detail. Okay. As you look at this, what is different, or what is going on that's different in these passages in reference to the other one? Okay, here's what we're going to do. We got a little bit of time. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go back, because I want you to be able to see this here. We're going to go back to Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 6 through 13. Matthew 26, verse 6 through 13 said, we're going to look at verse 6. Matthew 26, verse 6, that's what I'm going to concentrate on right verse now. Matthew 26, verse 6 says, now when Yehoshua was in Bethany, y'all seeing it in Bethany, okay? Now, when Yehoshua was in Bethany, in the house of who? Simon the leper. Y'all seeing it? Now we'll move to Mark. I'm really trying to teach you how to study. That's why I'm doing it this way. When you look at Mark 14, let's see where they were.
They were in Bethany and Mark.
Okay, in Mark 4, verse 3, they were?
In Bethany.
In Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper. Okay, now We'll move to John. Where were they? What verse? says, then 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Then they made a supper. Martha served. Lazarus was one at the table. Mary takes the ointment of spikenard, very costly. She put it on his feet. Judas makes the complaint. Okay, so we look at verses at John. It's in Bethany, right? Now, when we go to Luke chapter 7, verse 37. It said, and behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. Okay, which was a sinner. When she knew that she sat at meat in the Pharisee's house. So we need to find out who this Pharisee is. Because all other time it's saying Simon the leper. Okay, now when we get down to verse 40, does that give us the clue? Okay, we look at verse 37. It says, behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Yehoshua sat at meat in the Pharisee's house. I'm asking you. I've given you enough information, so what will you tell me? So you saying Simon and this Pharisee is one and the same? So we have Janice, and she says yes. So let's look at it now. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Yehoshua sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. And she stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and then wiped him with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him. For she is a sinner. And Yehoshua answering said unto Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. He said, there was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom which he forgave the most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged, you're correct. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Okay? And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said, to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Okay. Now, based upon verse 37, as we get ready to close, who is this woman? Why do you say it's Mary? Huh? Why do you say it was Martha? I'm asking you, why are you saying it's Martha? Well, when you go up at the, when you go back and look at the verse, it says Brother Long said he thinks it's Mary.
Verses, it's basically talking about one woman.
It is Mary.
One of the scriptures in Mark said that Mary poured the oil on his feet. The other one said that the woman poured the oil on his head. So we kind of just put it, I think it was in Mark is where it said it. So unless there was another woman, but.
Mm-hmm. And anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with a hair. And in this one, woman
of John 12 says it's Mary.
Okay, you said John 12 says that it's. That is, John 12 said it's Mary, because John 12, verse 2 and 3, it says, there they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Yahushua, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Okay. Now, when we get in Luke, and I did it for a reason. When we get in Luke, Luke chapter 7, verse 37 says, and behold, a woman in the city. So I read to you verse 17 to kind of mess with your head a little bit, cause. Judea is what? The Jerusalem area. It talks about the region when you look at verse 17. Okay, well, where is that? I'll teach you how to study. We didn't discuss that, did we? We need to know what Bethany is. Because these are all the things that help us, and I did it on purpose, these are all the things that help us understand what we do. So we got to go back and find out what Bethany is. Okay, so now as we go back now and we look at the word Bethany, the word Bethany is a place in Jerusalem. So Bethany is a place or a place that's in the region of Jerusalem. So it's also coinciding with the rest of these. Okay, now. Y'all give me about 10 minutes, and we're gonna pull all this together. And I messed with you by doing Luke last to show you the process of this here. So I did kind of an open quiz to kind of mess with your mind to make you think and to be able to pull all this together. Now, How would we do this? Matthew 26, we go Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What did I do? I went Matthew, Mark, John, and Luke. So let's go Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, real quick now. Matthew chapter 26, what verse did we start at? Don't help me. Verse 6. Matthew 26, verse 6. Now when Yahushua was in Bethany. Where is Bethany? What region? In the region of Jerusalem. Now when Yahushua was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. Whose house is it? Simon the leper. They came unto, verse 7, they came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But his disciples, you see, his disciples saw it. They had indignation saying, we plan, pretend we don't know the rest of it yet. We're going to build it up. His disciples saw it. They had indignation. They were displeased about it, saying, to what purpose is this? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And Yahushua understood it. And when Yahushua understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye this woman? For she has wrought a good work unto me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Okay? Now we go to Mark. Mark chapter what? 12? Mark chapter 12, right? 14. Mark 14. We're going to see how it gives us more information. Mark 14 with verse 3. Mark 14, verse 3 says, and being in Bethany, where is Bethany? Jerusalem. Jerusalem region, at least in Jerusalem. In the house of who? Simon the leper. As he sat at meat, still connected, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard. Give us a little bit more information. Very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on his head. Okay? And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of ointment made? For it had been sold for more than 300 pence. Tell us how much is valued at now. They could have bought 11 donkeys with this. And have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. Jesus said, let her alone again. You have the poor with you always. Okay? She has done this for my burial. Verse 8. Now we go to Luke. Luke chapter what?
7.
Luke chapter 7, with verse? We're going to start at verse 37, because we now understand that this is in Judea, so it's the same region as Bethany. Okay? Verse 37, and behold, a woman in the city. What connections do we make? And the woman in the city, which was a sinner. Now, to give us a little bit more detail about this woman, which was a sinner, when she knew that Yahushua sat at meat in the Pharisee's house. Who are the Pharisees? Simon. Pharisee's house brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and then wipe. Look at what it's saying now. Verse 37. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Yahushua sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. What did she do with the ointment, based upon other verses? She put it on his head, but it's showing us something else she did. When she saw him at meat, she had the alabaster box in her hand, and she stood at his feet. She hadn't broken it yet. She stood at his feet, behind weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears. Okay, and then wipe them with the hair. Then wipe them his feet with the hair of hairs on her head. So she's weeping. She has the alabaster box. She's wiping his feet with her tears, and she's kissing his feet. Okay? She stood at his feet, verse 38, behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and then wiped them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Okay? She drapes it. She puts it on the ointment on it. Okay? Anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisees had, when the Pharisee, who's the Pharisee? Simon, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touches him, for she is a sinner. And Yahushua answered and said unto him, Simon, the leper, the Pharisee, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast judged rightly. He was telling Simon, I can't get ahead of myself. Verse 44, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears. Now you understand why he's using the parable.
Uh-huh, because she did more.
She did more because she loved him more because she knew that he forgave her for more. Because the scripture points out her nature. She was a sinner. Simon the leper was a Pharisee. He was this religious guy who wasn't in a worse circumstance than this woman. So Simon man saying, okay, man, what's the deal on him? Don't he know this woman is a sinner? But yet this woman, because so much has been, you know, she has been in such a bad situation as a sinner, she loved the Savior so much to the point that she's washing his feet with her tears in her own hair. And so Simon is tripping about it, and Yahushua is like, okay, Simon, which one would love the person who forgives the debt the most? He said, well, I perceive the one who owes the most. He said, well, there you go. Now you understand why this woman is what she's doing what she's doing. Here I am, the same Savior to you as her, and I come in your house, you don't even offer me nothing to wash my feet. You don't even give me a kiss, Simon. But this woman, because she got great love for me, because she know that I have forgiven much things about her, she's doing everything she can to express that love that she had for me. That's why he said the parable in verse 40 and 41 and 42 through 43. Verse 44 says, he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gave me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Not just my head, but my feet. Y'all saying this now. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sin, which are many, are forgiven, for she hath loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same love is little. Now we go to John 12. John 12 now. What verse we start on? Verse 1. Then Yahushua, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. Then they made him a supper, and Martha served. Y'all seeing it now. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him, Yahushua. Then took Mary. Now we know who the woman is. Now we know who the sinner is. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spiker, very costly, and anointed the feet of Yehoshua and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas, now let them know who the disciple that's tripping. Not all of them, just the one. Okay? He gives us bits and pieces of information as we study. Okay? Then, verse 4, then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son. I want to be very, very careful. I don't know if this is the Simon that's a leopard or if it's just a son of Simon. I don't know if it's one and the same yet. So I want to be careful. I have to let the scripture show me that. So I'm not going to say that. Although it does say that, I'm not going to say that's the leper's son, Simon the leper, or the Pharisee. Okay, I'm not going to say that yet, at least, without doing studying on it. Verse 4 says, then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who shall betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. And Yehoshua said, let her alone. Against this day of my burial has she kept it. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Y'all seeing that? See how we tied together? Now we're gonna tie one last scripture together, and then we're gonna close. Luke ten verse 40. We're going to look at Luke 10, verse 40. Because I want to show you the mindset of Mary. Okay? Luke chapter 10, I'm going to start at verse 40. Luke 10, verse 38 says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Okay? This is a different story. Because the woman received him into her house. Who received him in the house? In the other story we talk about? Martha. Okay? Received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Yehoshua's feet and heard his words. And Martha was coming about serving and came to him and said, Jehovah, doest thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Yehoshua answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chose that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. It shows you Mary's mindset. Mary's mindset was always about serving the Most High. I mean, serving the Savior. Her mindset was always serving. She was always doing things from a perspective to express the love that she had for the Savior. That's why when you go look at Luke chapter 7, you see her doing the things that she's doing. And so I wanted to pull that together just so you can see her character, her personality, to show that she was a woman that had you know, the Bible doesn't say what she done, said that she was sinning. Apparently, she had done a lot of things. And apparently, you know, you get some people that say she was a prostitute, but there's no scripture reference that proves that. But there were some things that she was doing from a perspective of her being a sinner that caused her to accumulate a whole lot of money, to be able to buy an ointment valued at 10 donkeys. So you get some scholars that try to say she's a prophet too, but I don't teach that because the scripture doesn't reveal that. We just know she was a sinner, okay? And so I just want to point those things out to show you how I study, to show you the proper ways of how to look at scripture and take your time, run those scripture references, look at all the words, so that because you will get different versions of this that talk. There are times you read this and you get preachers that say these are all different events. Some of these events are the same. Some are different because of certain wordings and different things like that. But you have to stay in there and just continue to put those precept upon precept, line upon line together in order to come to the truth of what the stories are actually about. Okay? And I just wanted to show you how I study. You know, how the Spirit of Yah lead me to look at Scripture, and how, I study. I study the Scriptures every day, but the way that I study, I can't read chapters and chapters and chapters one after another. I pretty much read a chapter at a time, but because I understand that chapter to its detail, what I just did, what it took me an hour or so, to bring about an understanding of really Matthew chapter 26. If I had read Matthew chapter 26, this is how I would have ended up understanding Matthew chapter 26. By looking at Mark, by looking at Luke, and looking at John, precept upon precept, to understand Matthew 26. And so when you look at Scripture, you have to study the Scripture that way. Look at all the words, because all of it has information. Some of it gives a bit more information just because the same one, he anointed his feet in one passage. She anointed his feet in one passage. Well, she anointed his head in another passage. Well, when you take and put them all together, she anointed his whole body, per se. She anointed his feet, his head, you know, at least, you know, I'm not going to say whole body, but she anointed his feet in the head. They're going to be on the safe side. I don't want you to think she's going all up in robes and all that kind of stuff. She's throwing his feet in his head, okay? And so that's how we look at the Scripture. That's how we study. That's how I want you to study. Okay, study to show thyself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth, okay? All right, any questions or comments? Now I'm through. You good? Everybody understand it? Hope y'all got something out of that. I just wanted to show you how I study, y'all. Alrighty, that's all I have. Father Yah, we thank you again for your word on tonight. We just ask you to continue to lead and guide us in all truth. Bless us to be able to stand fast in your word and know that once we've looked at it precept upon precept, line upon line, we're confident knowing that we have rightly divided the Scripture, that we're walking in understanding so that we may teach men to do the same. We bless you in the name of our Savior, Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. Y'all remember, worship Yah in spirit and in truth. You're dismissed.